Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. If you live in Hawaii and pay attention to GOP politics, you likely get two different narratives. One, yet another claim of new ideas to rebuild Hawaii's Republican Party. The other focuses on the inability of the president and Congress to get anything done. An informational third piece is the one you probably don't hear. It centers on the American Greatness Movement. If that's not ringing a bell, sit tight. Contributing editor Neil Milner joins us now with some of the key points in this edition of The Long View. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
So is this American Greatness Movement something different than America First?
Well, America First, if you think about America First, is what Trump sort of talks about a lot. It's different in the sense that it's more comprehensive, but it very much is a kind of idea gloss, intellectual gloss on the things that Trump talked about in the campaign and that got him a lot of support and also got him a lot of criticism from your standard conservative pundits. What this means really is that an emphasis on American sovereignty, both political and cultural sovereignty, it means American greatness emphasizes the need to limit immigration because immigration that's unfettered threatens the American character. It believes in free trade, but with the caveat that when free trade hurts American workers, you don't do it. It believes its foreign policy is very much saying back away and support only American interests. So it's very insurgent in the sense that it criticizes some of the standard conservative arguments and criticizes the people who were critical of the conservatives as well as the liberals, but particularly the conservatives that were critical of Trump.
So is it then the American Greatness Movement that led to the America First idea?
Oh, I don't think it's anything that simple because, first of all, Trump is not a person of ideas. He's a person of instincts, and he kind of picked up on these sorts of things. I think what was happening is two things. This kind of insurgent group of idea people, some of them are conservative academics, began to look at Trump as a candidate and began to say, you know what? He is not the best person in the world. In lots of ways, we don't like him. He doesn't have any kind of sense of decorum that we would prefer. But what he is believing should and what he is saying, they didn't say what he is believing, is not only attracting support, but is precisely the direction where the conservative movement should be moving, away from establishment ossified conservatism. The conservatism of Reagan, the conservatism of Goldwater has kind of run its course.
And that's exactly what they say
in
their statement.
In their Declaration of Independence. This is a group of people that were really writing anonymously during the Trump campaign. Not anymore, but they were.
And that's why we didn't hear very much about them during the campaign.
Well, you also didn't hear very much about him because the typical campaign tropes were about the election itself. They were about how Trump isn't going to win anyway and what he's doing wrong. And the criticisms, the right-wing criticisms of Trump, whether they came from a kind of in a sort of unsystematic way from some of the Hawaii GOP people, but more important from very established and respected conservative intellectuals like David Brooks and Ross Douthat, they were getting the press because they had essentially the ear. So you didn't get this kind of insurgency, which is very different because most right-wing academics, we know this from surveys, can't stand one thing about the political right, and that is its increasing lack of decorum. So all of a sudden you had a very indecorous candidate who was believing in ideas that some of these people believed in, and so they went ahead and started pushing it.
So can there be a Trump-centric intellectual movement that can either embrace him or throw him away?
Well, they don't want to embrace him at all. I mean, essentially, their long-term goal is to
have... But they tag to him.
Well, they...
I mean, it's expedient.
Well, it's expedient, but you have to be careful here. They're not interested. They claim we're nonpartisan. We're certainly conservative. We have long-term goals, and they understand that Trump has very limited... The advantages that he brings to this movement were very obvious to them, but they're also very limited. So this is not going to be a movement that becomes attached to a president the way, say, the right became attached to Ronald Reagan or to a candidate like Barry Goldwater, who were clearly role models in all sorts of ways.
We talked about the American greatness statement a little earlier. I mean, just to be really clear, they say, quote, "We believe that American conservatism has lost its way, and as a result, it has lost much of its original appeal. The once vibrant political movement that nominated Barry Goldwater, elected Ronald Reagan, and defeated global communism has become ossified and unthinking to the point that conservative intellectuals act like priests, mediating unknowledgeable truth to the masses and administering the sacraments of conservative orthodoxy." That's a pretty academic statement.
Well, it is a pretty academic statement. That's one of the interesting things and also one of the dangers of it. You have to remember that there's been a lot of criticism of standard conservative politics, especially as Congress carries it out, from all different parts of conservatism. They differ over American greatness, but that's clearly been the case. All you have to do is look at health care, and you can see why the political right would say, there's no there anymore. It's all rot, and you have those kinds of things. It's academic language for sure, and that's one of the dangers, as far as I'm concerned, of this, because it seems to me that American greatness, and notice we haven't mentioned a name, Steve Bannon, who's not formally active in this movement, but clearly supports a lot of this and has the president's ear. American greatness's emphasis on the American character and on a kind of common political religion that we have can be used as a kind of intellectual gloss for the kind of white resentment that clearly drove a lot of people to support Trump, including a lot of Republicans more, in quotes, like us. Than anything else. White resentment is clearly an important part of American politics. And one of the dangers here is that this becomes a kind of way to legitimate it. And from my standpoint, from my own political standpoint, that can be a danger.
Do we see any evidence of this in Hawaii within the GOP? Are they even aware and talking about this what we hear?
Here's the thing about Hawaii. First of all, it's different. And so playing out white resentment is very different here. It we don't know. The second thing
is, but we do hear about the America First, and we do hear all of the tropes that we have been for months and months on end.
You don't hear much about it here. The other reason you don't hear much about it here is good ideas, bad ideas, threatening ideas, whatever. The Republican Party doesn't express them here. It's essentially a non-entity when it comes to a kind of political discourse. So I can say that we don't know what is going on here, and maybe it's on me to try to find out more, but there are certainly good reasons for it. You don't have any kind of tradition here of conservative ideas being expressed in the public. There are a few people that do it, Rick Hamada and a few others, but it's totally bereft here. So we're really not players in this at all. We certainly weren't players in the Trump election, and not just because this is a Democratic state, because the Republicans here didn't know what to do with Trump. First, they dismissed him as being too nasty for Republicans here, and then he won the primary.
But we are watching the factions of conservatism happen here. I mean, you've got the Republican Party, you have the Republican Assembly. How does that fit into any of what you may be seeing coming out of American greatness?
Well, it's the Republican Assembly, for people who don't know, is a kind of insurgent group that gets treated by the Republican Party establishment here as just a bunch of troublemakers. Part of that is because they do make trouble. The other part of it is that it's hard to follow what the Republican Assembly thinks about in terms of these kinds of ideas. They certainly were more likely, people who are support the Republican Assembly were certainly more likely to be Trump supporters. But it's not at all clear. They've never really made a statement along the lines of American greatness along those lines.
So what do you take away from this as it's, as you mentioned, not really a part of our reality here in Hawaii, but as we look back over the ocean and look at the rest of the country, what's the lesson?
Well, the lesson is you should watch what's going to happen here, because I think that at the same time that I always tell people, you're way too Trump-centric. You spend way too much time watching the news and listening to the news from day to day as if that's going to explain what's going on in a broader sense in America. And one of the things you have to pay attention to are there certainly in both parties is the kind of fight for the soul of the party that's going on. And you can see that in the political right, with the Koch brothers trying to maintain their establishment, with these kinds of things developing, and with what the social conservatives are going to do, which we did not talk about here, and we could talk about it another time.
Oh, good. Time for another conversation when
sure.
you come back. Thanks very much, Neil.
Sure.
Neil Milner, taught political science at UH Manoa for 40 years and is the contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View.